We lift our hands in total surrender to you. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord God. We surrender ourselves unto you, every part of us. Lord, cleanse us, use us. Use us in mighty ways for what you need to be done. Not what we need, but what you need to be done. We're the vessels. We are willing.
Yes, Lord.
We are willing, Lord God. Use us, send us. Father, I thank you right now that as we bring forth the word this morning, and I say we because I'm talking about the we that's in me is the Holy Spirit. I'll be the voice, but he's the spirit behind the voice. And I thank you, Father God, for your anointing upon me as the vessel this morning to bring it forth now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Don't want to forget that. Valentine's Day, though, it's all about love, right? Well, our God, he's all about love. In fact, Scripture tells us God is love.
That's right.
Turn to John chapter 1, verse. John chapter 1, let's go to chapter 4, verse 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins.
Yes, sir.
Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. His love is brought to full expression in us. Question. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Everything. In Romans 12, verse 10, says, be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Boy, that kicked right up there, didn't it? That word, try? Try sort of seems to say it all. Sounds like it's going to have to take some work on our part, isn't it? And we can't accomplish that through love. Through God's love. Because it was shed abroad in your hearts. So don't say that you can't love. As you definitely can. You born again? You born again?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure. Because then that's still it. You got the love of God in your heart. You just need to work on it a little bit and let it bloom to its full capacity. That's the whole problem sometimes. Put it there and don't do nothing with it. You need to nurture and work it a little bit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, it says, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. I didn't say it. The Word said it. Valentine's Day. You know, people go all out to show love for one another. Believers, though, are commanded by God to love one another every day. Every day. So what's that mean? Love forgives. Love forgives. Pastor, you don't know what they said or what they did. Doesn't make a difference. God's word makes it very clear. Jesus commands us to forgive. And how many times are we supposed to give? What's it forgive? Seven times? Come on, brother. Right. 70 times 70. What's that mean? 490. I didn't think you could make that many mistakes in one day. Now, so what's that mean? We're supposed to forgive. So what he told Peter? Walk in forgiveness. In Mark 11:25, Jesus said, "And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Forgive him, that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses."
Yeah.
You ever question why your prayers aren't getting answered?
Right.
Hey, what did Jesus say? Right there it is. When you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Forgive him.
Yeah.
Unforgiveness, though. Unforgiveness is the practice of engaging in rumativism. I like this because it was cool, Doc. Rumativism. Those are thoughts of anger, vengeance, hate, bitterness, and resentment that have very unproductive outcomes for the renuminator.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
See? You know what it means when you become the renuminator? Okay, what that means is you keep rehashing it.
Right.
You keep bringing it up. And the more you talk about it, the madder you get. The anger starts to build. And then you start to build resentment. Then the resentment turns to hate. And then you want to get even.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But it has very unproductive outcomes, such as increased anxiety, depression, elevated blood pressure, vascular resistance, decreased immune response, and several other health issues. And they're all documented through studies. It affects relationships. And it stops us from experiencing the freedom that forgiveness enables. Who does unforgiveness hurt? You. You. Forgive someone and you will strengthen your relationship. In Proverbs 17:9 says, "Whoever wants to show love forgives a wrong. But those who talk about it separate close friends." You know what that's talking about there? It's talking about gossiping. You get this person comes up and this person and asks for forgiveness. And this person says, I forgive. And they're thinking, okay, I did. And they're going over here. They thought they forgive. This person goes over here and walks over to that person and says, "Do you know what they did? Blah, 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 blah." Never truly forgave, because she'll go to the next person, and that person's going to tell that person. Next thing you know, everybody knows what happened.
Exactly.
Forgive or forget. What did Jesus say? "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." When you forgive, Make sure you forgive. Forget it. Don't talk about it no more. It's going to be there in your memory bank. I know you don't. You just can't erase them. But don't talk about it. Because when you talk about it, it'll be pushed in a corner and get dirt and dust on it, and then you won't even remember.
That's right.
Years down the road, you're going to think, we had a disagreement about what?
Yep.
Forgiveness only hurts the individual. They may not even know they've done something. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. And walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. He wants us to mimic him, to be filled with his thoughts, his love, his deeds, and his character. Now, that same scripture in the Passion Translation, like it. Be imitators of God in everything. What are we to be imitators of God in?
Everything.
Man, there's that word again. Everything. What are we supposed to take to God in prayer? Everything.
Everything.
Everything. Be imitators of God in everything we do, for then we will represent our Father as his beloved sons and daughters. Remember, you're royalty.
Yes.
You are royalty.
Amen.
You are kings and priests.
Come on, that's right.
You don't believe me? Just look it up in Revelations 1, verses 5 and 6. Okay? Because you're part of the family. So that means you're royalty. Mm-hmm. Royal blood's in your veins. Yes. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is infused with our blood. Is that possible? With God, all things are possible. Verse 2, and continue to walk surrounded to the extravagant love of Christ. For he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God, like an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. You know, the word fragrance in the Aramaic, come on, that word fragrance can be translated as, hey, you ready for this one, brother? Healing balm. Healing balm. Healing balm. And balms are creams that heal and reduce pain. And I know we've talked a lot and you've through the years, the healing balm of Gilead. Because
yeah.
That's where the origin comes. And if you go back into Genesis, you'll see that's where the first they talked about that healing that was coming. And it was these creams and the perfumes that were coming from Gilead. Because that was the name of the place where they were coming from. And they first came in because that was the caravan that was going by when the brothers had thrown Joseph into the pit. Said, oh, and then the next one's come by and say, hey, you know what, we're just going to sell him in there because we don't want his blood on us. So that's how far, and it goes back there, and then you go back to see where his dad, where Jacob, when he went to, and they were going to go move down there to make peace, he sent a gift of from Gilead about the balm. He sent those perfumes and those healing agents. Study it all out. It's really awesome. Okay, but see, it also relates to when you say the healing balm of Gilead, it refers to Jesus Christ. It refers to Jesus Christ. Jesus is our healing balm, and it came from God the Father.
Yeah.
It heals. And it will do away with the pain.
Mm-hmm.
It'll reduce it, but it can completely take it away. And that's Jesus we're talking about here. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Happy Valentine's Day from the Father. See, because now that's love. We have been going through so much lately. Our emotions are pressed to find comfort. God's love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on us. Never. On and on and on and on it goes. And we never, ever have to be afraid. Perfect love casts out fear.
That's right.
It's higher than the mountains that we face. It's stronger than the power of the grave. It is constant through the trials and the changes. One thing that remains constant for us is his love.
Yes, sir.
And nothing can separate us from his love.
Amen.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up in Romans 8.
Yep.
That whole chapter of Romans 8 got a lot in it for one chapter. A whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you. Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The days we are in are challenging and pressure-filled, to say the least. But times of pressure should not surprise us, nor excite us. See, God is right there with us every step of the way. He goes into every meeting that you attend. He goes in with you to work. Because I'm telling you, at times, in that work atmosphere out there, it's tough. I've been there. I've been there. But he's there with us every step of the way. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and this is the Passion Translation. And Paul spoke about these things to his Padawan, Timothy. But, I like this, Tim. But, you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of the society will become extremely fierce and difficult for the people of God. Yeah.
That's right.
The pressure will be great, but we will be able to withstand it because of our support. Our support comes from the Lord God Almighty.
Yeah.
In Psalm 18, verse 2, says, "The Lord is my pillar." I like that. The Lord is our pillar and our fortress, our deliverer. He's our God. He's our rock, in whom we take refuge, our shield, and the horn, the power and strength, that means, of our salvation,
right,
and our mighty tower. But I like that. He is our pillar. He is our pillar. And a pillar is something or someone who is strong, reliable, and supportive, able to stand under extreme pressure. And it's much like a pillar of a building that supports and upholds the, you ready for this? Superstructure. In our case, the superstructure is the ecclesia, the supernatural church. Because we are a supernatural church, composed of supernatural people. Now, that same scripture of Timothy in the Amplified 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 of the Amplified Classic says, "But understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Although the times may seem hard to bear, they are not impossible to bear, because with God, all things are possible." And why are you trying to bear it anyway? Why are you trying to bear underneath all that pressure? See, that's when I could hear Captain Balboa speaking. "What are you doing, mate?" Because in 1 Peter 5:7 of the Amplified Classic, it says, "Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully." I like that. Man, He's watching over me. He's watching over all of us. He is the main load-bearing column. Because in the Aramaic, I'm going to get that really smooth one day, translation, it reads, "Load upon Him your every anxiety. Load upon Him your every anxiety. For He's always watching over you with tender, loving care." See, He can bear the load. We're not designed to bear or even carry the load. No, He is. He's the main load-bearing column. We are structurally deficient without Him.
Oh, you got that right.
Yeah. We will collapse.
Yeah.
In Psalm 55, verse 22, New Life Version says, "Give all your cares to the Lord, and He will give you strength."
Yeah.
He will give you the strength. He will never let those who are right with Him be shaken.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Never.
Amen.
He's the support of the superstructure of the church. And when the earthquake comes, you will not be shaken, church. You will not be shaken. You watch everything around you going like crazy. You're standing, "What's going on?" Because believe me, there's a shaking going on.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be moved by what you see or by what you hear. Second Timothy, there, we're still there. In verse 3, or in chapter 3, or verse 2, though, Paul also warns us about people in these perilous times as well. Passion Translation. "People will be self-centered, lovers of themselves, and obsessed with money." And that can be translated as men will look out for themselves. Because they will be possessed with a spirit of mammon. Just think about what you see going on. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. You know, I think that just took place on the Senate floor, and some people were laughing at the man's defensive lawyer. God didn't take kindly to that, did He? All I can say is, who laughing now?
Yep.
They will ignore their own families. In other words, they will be disloyal to their people, to their constituents. I didn't say that, did I? Yes, you did. They will be ungrateful. That is rejectors of grace. They have had an opportunity, and ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. That means they're listening to the devil. Slaves to their desires, they will be ferocious, belligerent, haters of what is good and right. With brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted, and wrapped in clouds of their conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of the loving God. They will pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Paul says, stay away from these people. Stay clear. Paul also says down further in the chapter that he says, these people will be manifested for all to see. Truth will always prevail.
Right.
Pressure and persecution are nothing new to God and His people. When the kingdom of darkness applies pressure to the believers, the outcome is deliverance and multiplication. The truth is, the kingdom of darkness is terrified of God's people. Terrified of you and me.
Right.
See, because we're of the kingdom of light. But the darkness has lulled the church to sleep with a false sense of security over the years, causing us to become lazy. Lazy. Not spending enough time in a word. Not praying. Not witnessing for Him when you had the opportunity. But no longer. A church is not asleep. The reality of what is taking place has caused a great awakening in the body of Christ. And the darkness knows it. The darkness is afraid of the light. Why do you think what is going on in our nation and around the world has the evil spirits doing what they can? It's because their time is running out. Their time is running out, bro. Don't be afraid. They're the ones who are afraid of us. But from everything you hear, you think that we done lost. We need to crawl up and go back in our little bedroom and crawl up in a little blankie and get our little sucky bottle. No more.
That's right.
We're awake now.
Amen.
We're awake. Together we are strong.
Amen.
Resist the devil and he will flee. He may come at us one way, but he's going to flee from us seven ways. Especially when you're trusting in the Lord with all of your heart. Because that's what the Word says. That's one of our blessings. Deuteronomy 28. He will come against us one way, but we'll flee seven ways. Because we're trusting and we're obedient to His Word. Oh, did I use that word, obedient? Well, that's a biggie, isn't it? You know what started this whole mess? Disobedience. All the way back in the garden. It was disobedience. Don't blame it on a woman. Blame it on a man because he had an opportunity to correct it and he didn't correct it. Let's get the story right. I don't want to blame anyone, but the devil, you can see, that was God's creation. And he deceived it. And if they can be deceived, we have to be on our guard. So pay him no mind. When the devil's talking, pay him no mind. Bet you when you know the word, pay him no mind. Tell him what the word says. Just suit up. Suit up. In Ephesians 6, chapter 10 and 11. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Hey, Scott, I thought of you guys on this. Well, you can pay attention. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your union with the Lord Jesus. Ready? Stand victorious with the force. You got to understand the little joke we got going there. Okay. Because the force is with us and the force is in us. The faith is in us. And our faith in Jesus Christ is what powers that force within us. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand victorious with the force of His explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. We are supernaturally infused with strength because of our relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Stand victorious with the force of His weapons that are highly filled with explosive power flowing in and through us. More firepower than you got upstairs in that room there, bearded one back there. Verse 11. Put on God's complete. You hear that word? Complete. Complete set of armor. Yeah, you don't go out to battle without your helmet, do you, Mr. Osmond? Mm-mm. You don't go out with your body armor. You don't go out without your body armor. You can put the helmet on, you got the shoes on. You don't have that body armor on. Nah. You ain't completely protected. So you put on God's complete set of armor provided for us. It's provided for us. Free of charge. And that's just not any armor. No. That's actually the Lord God Almighty's personal armor. Reflect on that. Think of the reality of that. That's His personal armor.
Yes.
And He's given it to us. And He said, put it on. And you know it's going to fit each and every one of us perfectly. Each and every one of us will fit into it perfectly. Suit up.
Yes.
Better yet, word up. Word up. Word up, because in His armor you will be protected against the evil strategies and attacks of the devil. That kingdom of darkness is afraid of God's people. You suit up, oh yeah. He's afraid. They all are. They're fleeing to get away from us and go hide in every little corner they can, thinking if they hide there long enough, they'll just pop up. Or that light's going to seek them out and expose them. Now in Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, New Living Translation, when the inhabitants of Jericho, okay, brother, that's why I say you were reading my notes, I know. When the inhabitants of Jericho heard of the works that God had done for the Israelites, that report terrified them. Now consider the words of Rahab, right? What she said to the spies. So you're there, verse 9. She said, listen guys, I know the Lord has given you this land. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. For we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea. It was the size of a superhighway when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens and of the earth. Now, can you imagine the terror of the people inside those fortified walls of false security? 7 days the people of God marched around the city, not saying a word either. God didn't allow them to speak. But he instructed them to march because he knew if they talked amongst themselves, they would end up being negative words that would be spoken. So a lot of times, just shut up. Better yet, get the word of God out and say what the word of God says, see? Because God will give us the words to speak. And he'll tell us when to speak them at the right time. It's all in timing. On the seventh day, Joshua, on the final walk around, gave that command. He said, shout, for the Lord has given us the city. The walls were still standing. They shouted loudly, Jericho walls, come down. And they came down. Except one little portion where the lady Rahab and her whole family was. All the time.
Yeah.
Those in our nation's capital, they've erected walls that they feel safe behind. The church and God are on the move. Mm-hmm. Jericho walls gonna come down, gonna come down, gonna come down. Mm-hmm. You're messing with God's people. And God's not going to be happy with you messing with his people.
No.
And if God be for us, who can be against us? And who stands a chance against us?
Right.
No one. It's the reality of it. You got to get the reality of this. This is not a story. When you get it into your heart and you're believing, you ain't going to get moved. And when a prophet speaks, believe the prophet and listen to the prophet. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Amplified Classic Edition. Talk about being under pressure. God's people living in Egypt were oppressed under a great pressure, but they multiplied, grew, and were mighty. Yeah. Verse 6. Now this is, you got to remember, they've been living there. Joseph made a way for them all to come there. And they were living the good life. And as they were living there, they were growing and they were multiplying. But in verse 6 it says, then Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. But the descendants of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong in that land that was full of them. Now, you got to remember, that land was full of them. And it started with 70 immigrants. Mm-hmm. 70. How many came out of there?
Yeah.
Huh? Over a million.
Yeah.
Started with 70. Verse 8. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He didn't know what Joseph had done, and he forgot what Joseph's God had done. He said to his people, this king, the new Pharaoh, "Behold, the Israelites are too many and too mighty for us, and they outnumber us both in people and in strength." That statement is true for God's people, the church today. Although the media would make us think that, you know, Christians are a minority. We are not. And we have made our appeal to heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. He heard the appeal. God is on the move.
Amen.
God is on the move.
Amen.
Don't you think anything otherwise.
That's right.
God is on the move.
That's right.
Sometimes you just got to go to see and clarify things. Because when you look through the Word and through your faith, you'll see things a lot differently than as the world sees it. Verse 10, "Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply more, and should war befall us, they join our enemies, fight against us, and escape out of the land." Pharaoh was worried. Really, he had no reason to worry. They weren't rebelling. Mm-mm. Verse 11, "So they set over the Israelites taskmasters to afflict and oppress them with increased burdens. And the Israelites built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more they multiplied and expanded, so that the Egyptians were vexed," which means they were worried and alarmed. Frightened, afraid. They were in danger, they felt, because of the Israelites. Pharaoh put the pressure on Israel. But the more the Egyptians pressured them, the more they multiplied and they spread. They were spreading. The more the pressure is put on the church, the more the church will grow. People in our nation and nations around the world will be drawn to the church for comfort and an answer. And the answer to the problems is found in one answer. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And Luke chapter 4, verses 7 through 19. But let me ask you something. Would you consider Jesus as a revolutionist?
Yeah.
Okay, a revolutionist is someone who wants to change the world. Not just sitting around talking about it, but actually doing something to bring about change. So would you consider him a revolutionist? And when we team up with Jesus, you know what we become? Revolutionists. We want to make changes. And let's get to our scripture. "And there was handed to him," and he went into church. He went into church on the day that he's supposed to. "And they handed him the scroll," the roll, what would we call it, the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened, That means he unrolled it. And he found the place where it was written. You ever notice? Didn't say he fumbled around.
No.
Opened it right to the spot. Found the exact scripture that he wanted to read. All coincidence? I don't think so. He watched when the word was written there.
Yes, sir.
I like this. And he reads in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recover of sight to the blind, to set forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. And then Jesus closed the book. And he sat down.
Yes, he did.
And when he sat down, do you know what he did? Y'all just think that's what happened. He preached a sermon on everything that he had just read.
Yeah.
Yeah, he preached a sermon after that. And when he said it was the acceptable year, this was when salvation was coming. That day happened, it says. But what does it say in Romans 10, 8 through 10? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made until salvation. ACA, get ready, get ready, get ready. They're coming in. Revival's happening. Tents are being put up all over this nation. Again, we got to open up tents. But we're also seeing churches opening their doors wide. And you know who finally agreed with that? The Supreme Court. Finally gave the okay, but it only allowed so many at a time. Yeah. You know, they can try all they want to hold down the church, but they can't hold down the church. No way, it's not going to happen. We are on the brink of the greatest awakening that the world has ever experienced. The media can't stop it, and it cannot be legislated away. Mm-mm. Ain't going to happen. The more the pressure is applied, the greater the body is going to multiply and become mightier. Don't be concerned or distracted by the opposition. Instead, stay focused on God's word and let him deal with those who resist his plan. And then laugh. Am I right, sis?
Yeah.
Laugh. Let the Holy Ghost laughter come up in you. Oh. His promises that those who set traps for us will end up falling into their own traps. It says it right there in Psalm 141 verse 10. Let them all stumble into their own traps while we escape without a scratch. That's a good confession you can make every day of yourself. When our eyes are fixed on Jesus and his delivering power, the opposition can make attempts to frustrate us, but it'll be all to no avail. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The Lord will strengthen his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29:11. Jeremiah 17:7 and 8. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. And the Lord said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And that's why he said, you make it personal. No weapon formed against me. No weapon formed against my family is going to prosper. Say it, stand on it, believe it, and that's it. Done deal. Done deal. Don't waver. Once you say it, believe it. That's his word. His word will go forth with power and demonstration. And it will accomplish what it was sent forth to do. Even when it's coming out of your mouth because it's his word.
Right.
Ah, Jesus. God loves us and will perfect those things which concern us. He will protect us. He has heard our appeal. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
Yes, sir.
With all your mind. Question. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Everything. And trust him, folks. They may think that they have total control. They don't have control. Our God is in control.
Yes, he is.
Do not listen to what the fake news, the media, because they're only lying to you. They're only putting forth what they want to put forth. They are taking the conservative voice and shutting it off.
Yes.
Yep. But not too much longer. Mm-hmm. There's going to be avenues and ways that are going to be opened up. You can't hold back the church. All the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church.
Right.
And nothing is going to stop his word from going forth.
Right.
The more they put the pressure on us, the more growth is going to be seen throughout this world. The awakening has started.
Yeah.
Father, we pray for America today. Thank you for this incredible nation you raised up to be your voice in the earth, to trump the gospel of the kingdom to all the nations. This is an amazing honor and a destiny that we don't take it for granted. We pledge to honor this covenant with you. We declare even now that the greatest release of the gospel from this nation and in all history will occur. Though some would seek to annul this covenant, and others would say it never existed, even some Christians, we know otherwise. Thank you for preserving it. Thank you for making clear to us through the words of the Liberty Bell and those that were spoken at Cape Cod or Cape Henry that this is the destiny that you have for America. We thank you now that no force, no movement, no government, no political party, no system will be able to stop this. Your purposes will be accomplished. Now we call forth the greatest revival ever to come to the land. We pray for it to reach into every part of society, every age group, all cities, and all races. We pray that it will also invade government and rid us of the evil that has defiled it. Purge it, Lord. Expose the wickedness, yet save those who respond to you. We bind every evil force that will try to stop this. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless all of you.